you again this evening to worship, God, to be with one another, to encourage one another. I appreciate so much you being here this evening. We received a card from the wife and son, I believe it is, of Kenneth Barnes. Kenneth is one of the residents at the veterans' home and is not able to be out. He gets out whenever he is able, but has not been able to be out for some time now. And this is from Kenneth and his wife. And it says, greetings of the season and best wishes for the new year. And they say that we would like to say thank you for providing the worship services at the Missouri Veterans Home. May the good Lord give you increase in spirit and number and members, I think it says. And there's also a contribution for the put into the treasury. But we appreciate that, and we enjoy going and meeting with the men at the Veterans Home. And I want to say those of you who from here go and encourage the services there, we appreciate that so very much. But I know they appreciate it. I know they are encouraged by it. And we're just glad to be able to do that. And just know that that is a part of the work of this congregation as we're providing, doing what we can to encourage our brethren there, as well as trying to encourage others to seek the Lord and to look to Him for guidance and for salvation. We're working with various ones who are not faithful or they're not Christians. And so let's keep that in our prayers as we work with them there. Mike talked about peace, that the Bible gives us peace as we read God's Word. And in doing His will, there's happiness, there's peace. And I want to talk about that this evening. Matter of fact, the title of the lesson is Peace Within. We might call it Inner Peace or Peace of Mind. You know, this is a time of year where many people, as they go come through the holidays, don't have that peace of mind. Matter of fact, it becomes even more difficult for them because of circumstances in their lives, circumstances that occurred in the past, that make it difficult for them through their life, and as well, and maybe even more so during the holiday seasons. And the Lord, though, has provided for peace. You know, His Word provides for peace, peace within, inner peace. And we need to know how to obtain that. I want to talk a bit about that tonight. First of all, what do we mean by peace? What is peace? Really, peace is freedom from conflict or disturbances. And so where there's conflict, there's no peace. And so when there is the freedom of that conflict, then you have peace. For example, a brother and a sister are fighting with one another. There's conflict. But then they make up. They say, I'm sorry to one another. They make up and there's peace. There's no conflict. The conflict is given way then to peace. There are nations that go to war. There's conflict. But there's one that maybe defeats the other through negotiations. They then have peace. They then subjugate the other, maybe. But then through negotiations, those have been subjugated accept these conditions of peace, and then there's no more conflict. There's peace between those nations. Peace in relationships. There's harmonious relationships where there's conflict. In relationships between husbands and wives, when they solve those problems and then there's harmony in that relationship, we can say then there's peace. So this is what we mean by peace, freedom from conflict. We've all had it inside us, haven't we, that conflict, turmoil within. And that's what I want to focus in on. When we talk about peace, the Bible talks about peace with God, having fellowship with Him, being right relationship with Him. There's also peace with man, and the Lord's made provision for that. If we'll all follow His will, do it His way, then we can have peace, freedom from conflict with men. But then there's that peace within that the Bible talks about that we want to focus in on this evening. What we're going to talk about is what causes conflicts and disturbances within us, within our minds. And how do we solve the conflict so that there can be true peace within? And that's what we want to talk about this evening. I want to emphasize the fact, and this comes from the Bible, it provides peace. And that is, God provides peace within. Look at what Jesus said to His apostles the night before He was crucified in John 14, verse 27. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled." That's where conflict is. The heart is troubled. He said, don't let it be troubled. Neither let it be afraid, fear. Doesn't bring peace. Don't let it be troubled. Let it not be afraid. I give you peace. Peace I leave with you. How does He provide us with that peace? Look at also what He says in John 16:33. "These things I have spoken to you, that in Me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." All right, peace in the midst of tribulation. In the world, you're going to have tribulation, but you can have peace. And that's what we're looking for. It's not that we're going to be free of conflict in this life, but in the midst of conflict with fellow men, we can still have peace within that the Lord provides for us. Philippians 4, verse 7 says, 6 and 7, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." He's talking about inner peace here. Peace of God is the peace that God provides. But what will it do? Well, it will guard your hearts and minds. In other words, this peace of God will guard our hearts and minds, will guard it from anxiety. There's frustrations that bring despondency and anxiety and conflict within. Well, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We can have this peace, and it will guard our hearts. Verse 9, He says, "The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in Me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." Also, in 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 16, "And may the Lord of peace Himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all." And so the Lord's provided for peace. Peace within. Inner peace. Well, let's talk about some conflicts, the reason for the conflicts within. I'm going to talk about four reasons. There are other things we could probably talk about, but these are ones that come to our minds usually, I think, when we talk about the reasons for not having inner peace. And one is guilt. We have conflicts within because of guilt. Have you ever done something you knew was wrong and you felt bad inside? Guilt, there's no peace there. You knew you'd done wrong. You sinned against God. You're not right. A lot of times the way we try to solve that is forget about it and go on, you know, not think about it. That doesn't solve the problem, does it? Because it comes back. And you surely don't want to get to the point where your conscience is seared. And we think that maybe we've got peace now. Well, really what has happened is we have rationalized and justified ourselves in our sin, made us feel better, and there really is no peace that the Lord's provided for us. That's not the solution, is to forget it. But we've all experienced that inner conflict of guilt within. I probably could give you a whole list of times of where I have felt that. Times I've said things to Jane I wish I hadn't have said. I lost my temper and I go away and I just think, why did I do that? Now I can just forget about it. You know, there's some who say, I never apologize. Well, there really will be no peace then. But I know what the Lord wants me to do. He wants me to deal with it, apologize, repent, seek His forgiveness and the forgiveness of the one I've sinned against. That's the solution to all of that. We've all experienced peace, but the solution is confession, repentance, and God's forgiveness. And that's how we deal with this. 1 John 1 and verse 9, concerning us who are Christians, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And brethren, I just plead with you, don't put sin away, forget about it, and not deal with it. I mean, it's not going to help. Always when there's sin and you know that you've sinned, be willing to admit that, say I'm sorry, go to God in prayer with that penitent heart, confessing your sins, and ask God to forgive you. And that brings peace. Romans 5 and verse 1, Paul says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. How do we have peace with God? By being justified. Now, the word justified there means being free from the guilt of sin. And being free from the guilt of sin means being forgiven of those sins, that God remembers them no more. And that is accomplished by faith, he says there. And in verse 9, he says, much more than having now been justified, there's our word, by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. And so through the death of Jesus, that's the means by which we can be free from the guilt of our sins. But in order for us to be justified by the blood of Christ, we've got to come in faith. Faith is what we must do. And that is putting our trust in Him, but we know that this is not a faith, just a mental acknowledgement that He will save me or He's the God and that Jesus is the Son of God and that He died for me. But this faith is an active faith. It's a faith which shows itself in obedience. And we can look at passages where we find that the faith by which we're saved, by which we're justified, is a faith with obedience, a faith with works. James talks about that in James chapter 2. And so, I do that. I act on my faith. My faith then becomes active. And I know the blood of Jesus is there cleansing me from my unrighteousness, my sins. And what's that bring? Peace. The peace of God. The peace that God provides whereby I can be at peace with Him. And that then provides inner peace. That's essential. Now, what does repentance mean? Repentance means I'm going to start doing what's right. I'm going to strive doing what's right. I can't then just go out and live the way I want to live. Whenever I commit sin, there's going to be guilt and should be guilt and should be. But there's this means of peace because of the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. So I just need to do what's right. And when I do what's right, then I know there will be peace. Look at what John says in 1 John 2 verses 3 through 6. Now by this we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. How do I know that I know Him? How do I know that I'm in fellowship with Him? How do I know that I have peace with Him so that I can have peace within if I keep His commandments? He who says I know Him and does not keep His commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. He who says He abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as He walked. And so what do? We do what's right. When we commit sin, we confess our sins, we repent, and we seek God's forgiveness. We're talking about Christians here, and if I've never become a Christian, I need to become a Christian. I need to believe in Jesus, repent of my sins, confess my faith, and be baptized in His name for the remission of sins. And all of my sins are washed away. And there's that peace, and then I serve Him. And I put my trust in Him by living for Him and seeking His forgiveness as I commit sin in life. So, that's how you deal with guilt. Well, what about sometimes our conflict is because we're not prepared for the future. I think about when I was in school and the teachers would assign a test, say that we're going to have a test the next day. And if I was not prepared, if I didn't study hard, and I went to the test thinking, well, I think I'll do okay, and then the test opens up, and I just don't know the answers to those questions, what is it? Conflict. There's no peace within there, is there? I was not prepared. I was not ready. I'm going to fail this test. What will my parents think? What will that do with my final grade? Will I have to repeat this class again? All of those things come up. There's no peace. There's conflict. What was the solution to that? Well, the solution is work hard, study. Do your job, do what you need to do to prepare for the future. And that will then solve that problem. There was a young man who asked a farmer for a job as a farmhand. And when the farmer inquired of his qualifications, the young man answered, "I can do whatever has to be done, and I can sleep when the wind blows." Even though the farmer did not understand what he meant by the phrase, "sleep when the wind blows," he did not press the question and went on and hired him as his farmhand. Well, sometime later, the farmer awoke in the night to learn that a violent storm was brewing. And he got up and he tried unsuccessfully to wake this farmhand to help him to get prepared for this storm. The storm has already started and he couldn't wake him. Well, he went then to check things. He was annoyed because he couldn't wake the farmhand. And he went to check things for himself and he found that the barn was locked, the chicken coop properly closed, a wagon load of hay covered with a tarp that was secured, and all else in a condition of safety from the elements. And then the farmer remembered the young man saying, "I can sleep when the wind blows." In other words, he prepared, did whatever he needed to do to prepare for such a storm. And he could sleep in peace. And that's the solution to when we look to the future and we see things ahead of us that are fearful. How am I going to get through this? How am I going to get this accomplished? Well, what the Lord says for us to do is just you do your job. You do work hard and then I'll take care of the rest. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10 says, "Whatever your hands find to do, do it with your might. For there's no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you're going." The writer here is talking about things under the sun. And as we work here under the sun, he's saying just do your best in whatever you're called upon to do. Work heartily, with all your might. And that's what we need to be doing. You know, we encourage our young people to do that. Sometimes our children don't study for that test. And we say, work hard. You don't have to worry about this if you'll work. Just do your best and work heartily at it. And that's what we need to do. When we're faced with problems ahead and we're not sure what's going to happen, just do your best. You remember what Paul said to slaves, "Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men." So slaves who had earthly masters, they were told to render their service to their masters heartily. You do the best job that you can do, as though the Lord is your master. It's as to the Lord that the service that you render. You just do your best. And that's how you can take care of the future that is to come. And as it relates to eternal life, how is it? Well, some believe that Jesus died and there's nothing we can do and so nothing that we do will affect our eternal salvation. Well, we know that that's not true. The Lord has died and that's the only way that we can be forgiven of our sins. But the Lord expects us to live by faith. Notice what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning with verse 24. "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it." And as used in the illustration here of a race to obtain a prize, talk about our life in order to obtain the eternal prize of heaven. Now he says concerning those who run in a race, they run in such a way to obtain that prize. Now notice verse 25, "And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown." In other words, they exercise self-control. They control their diet. They do exercise. These are not things that they may want to do sometimes, but they do whatever they need to do in order to win the race. And it's hard sometimes. So Paul says, therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. What he's saying here is, okay, and it's what we were saying earlier. That is concerning heaven, which is in the future. You run with temperance. You want run with discipline. That means that there are times that Satan's going to hurl his temptations at you. He's going to use his ministers of the world, your friends and co-workers, various ones to lead you astray. And this is hard and difficult. And what is he saying? He's saying, you be disciplined. You do what's right. You do what's right so that you can obtain the prize. That's what Paul had to do. I brought my body into subjection, he says. Discipline my body. That's when I have preached to others, I might become disqualified. Someone says, I don't like that. I don't like to have to work that hard. Well, that's the problem. And that's the problem when I fail the test. I don't like to study. It's a problem when I don't have the money that I need to take care of my families because I don't like to work. That's the problem we have in our lives, is that we just don't want to get up and do what we have to do. We are lazy. And so what's the solution to this? If I'm going to have peace within, it's going to be because I'm willing to work. I'm willing to work hard in order to get it done. That's the solution to this inner conflict about the future, worrying about that. I just need to do my part, and we know that God will take care of the rest. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. He's talking about the resurrection. If we will be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, then we know there's a reward. There's a resurrection from the dead. And we'll go to be with the Lord for all eternity. Well, another reason we have conflicts within is because of discontent, because we do not have all that we want. Some people are just never content with what they have. You know, they always want more. It's not that they don't have enough to live on, they just want more. And because they want more, they see others who have more. They're enjoying those things, and I know I would enjoy them if I could get them. And so I don't have them. What is there? Discontent? There's turmoil. There's no peace within because I want those things. I would like to have those things. And there's discontentment. I'm sure you probably have heard this story before, but it just describes somebody that's you can't satisfy. There was a parents of a little boy. They were having difficulty in getting him to eat. And so they offered him a hamburger and he didn't want it. They offered him a pizza and he refused that. He refused everything that they offered and they were frustrated with him. Finally, he said that he wanted a worm to eat. And the father reluctantly went out in the backyard and brought him a worm, and he said that he wanted it cooked. He wanted it fried. And so the father fried it, and he still would not eat it. Now what? The father said, I want it cut in half. The father cut it in half, and he still would not eat it. What now? Well, I want you to eat half of it. So the father ate half of it, and the son was still dissatisfied. What now? You ate my half, he said. And that's the way some people are. They're never content with what they have. Never content with the circumstances in their life. And I think the culture in which we live contributes to this way of thinking. Because what, and we talked about this back several weeks ago, and that is, what does our culture say, concerning who are people of significance? What do you have to be if you're going to be somebody in this culture? Well, they say if you're rich, you know, you're somebody. Or if you're good looking, then you can be somebody. If you're smart, you have high intelligence, then you can be somebody. Or if you're a winning athlete, you can be somebody. But I come along and I realize I'm poor, I'm ugly, I'm dumb, and I'm clumsy. Can I be somebody? And really, if I buy into the way our culture thinks, then really I'm going to have a pretty sorry concept of myself because I can't fit into what they think is important in life and what makes one significant in life. And so I'm going to consistently then be, there be conflict within. There be no peace because I just can't meet up to the standards that the world wants me to meet up to. And so there's continually conflict within. So what's the solution here to this discontentment? Well, it's to make God your priority in life. It's not make money and how you look and how smart you are, and whether or not you can be an athlete. Those are not the things that you need to emphasize. What you need to emphasize is your relationship with God and make Him your priority in life. Remember what the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 13, verses 5 through 6, let your conduct be without covetousness, that's the desire for more. Be content with such things as you have, for He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? And so I stop desiring more, stop trying to please the world, and I put my trust in the Lord and say, Lord, I'm just going to try to please You, and I'll let You take care of me. And I'll just serve You as You have commanded, and knowing that You'll never leave me nor forsake me. Now that will bring true peace. Philippians 4, verses 11 through 13. The church in Philippi once again was able to send to Paul financial assistance. And Paul said, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And there's the key, is putting your trust in Christ, putting your trust in the Lord. And in that, we then can learn whatever state that we're in to be content. And so the solution to discontentment is to make God your priority and to please Him. And then what about circumstances in our lives? Because of the circumstances in my life, I'm not happy. I'm not pleased with the way things are, and so there's inner conflict, turmoil. I'm single, but I want to be married, and so I'm not happy. There's conflict. I'm married, but I want to be single. There's conflict that they're there. I have bad health, and I want to be well, and surely we would want to be well. But I'm doing all I can. We've prayed about this, but there's that inner conflict that takes away a certain peace because of those circumstances. There may be financial difficulties. I'm in debt. How do I get out of this? And I, because of those circumstances, I have this conflict and there's no inner peace. There may be a bad storm coming up, tornado warnings. What's going to happen? And I am in turmoil. Now, in all of these, there's going to be some legitimate concerns that we would have. But to some people, it takes away their peace. They can't have peace. And what's the solution to that? And that is, just trust God during those times. Do what you can do, and then let God do the rest. In Psalm 46, verse 1, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God is our refuge and strength. He's the one that we look to during these times of trouble, and that will bring us through these times of trouble. He's the refuge that we take refuge in. Therefore, He says, we will not fear during this present trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Even, what kind of trouble? Even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. I've never been through that kind of trouble. But He's describing here, whatever the troubles then may be, we have a God in whom we can take refuge, who is our strength through this, through all of this. And knowing that, it can give me peace because my priority is with Him, having a relationship with Him, And I know that's secure. My hope of heaven is secure. That cannot be taken away from me. Yes, I'm going through some troubles, but what's the priority in my life, what's most important to me, is secure. My treasures are laid up in heaven. No one can take that away. That's secure. There's a story of a boy who was on a plane from New York to Los Angeles, and the plane had engine trouble. They had to land in a very unsuitable place, and as a result, the passengers were frantic and hollering and screaming, and some were crying, "We're going to die," except this one little boy who was sitting there, all calm. And someone asked him, says, "Son, aren't you afraid?" He said, "No, my daddy's the pilot." And he had confidence that his dad would land them safely. We have a pilot, and that's God. Whatever troubles we're going through, we have God who will bring us through. We just need to trust Him for that. And that's really what peace is. It's peace in the midst of trouble. It's peace in the midst of turmoil and tribulation. There was an artist painting a picture of the concept of peace. Matter of fact, I think there maybe was a contest of which picture would best depict peace. And there was one artist who painted a rural scene in the center of which was a country home. Near the house were fertile fields and an abundant harvest. The wheat swayed with the kiss of a gentle breeze. The sun was shining and cows lay lazily under the shade tree chewing their cuds. And there is a scene of peace. There was that picture. But then there was another picture. And it gave a totally different concept of peace. In this painting, there was a storm, and it was raging. Trees swayed to and fro. The sky was dark with clouds. There was the zigzag flashing of the lightning. There was a waterfall that lunged furiously over the precipice because of so much rain. And on a rock projected from the cliff, there was sheltered by an overhanging boulder, a little bird. This bird was calmly on its nest, seemingly unmindful of the howling storm and raging waters of the waterfall, protected from the storm without. There the bird sat in peace with no fear, unperturbed and undisturbed from the storms around it. Now, which one you think won the prize of the picture that depicts peace? Well, I'm not sure what happened in this contest, but I think it was that one where there was storm and peace within the midst of the storm. That's the way peace is. That's true peace, is where we have inner peace in the midst of turmoil in life. And all the reason is because of God, is because we put our trust in Him. And we know that He will fulfill His promises. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. So whatever problems that you're going through in life, whatever problems that you may be having, just know that you can have peace in the midst of it because you have a God that's your Father, and He cares for you, and you're His child. And if you'll just trust Him, continue to follow Him. Do your best in this life. Do whatever you can do to serve Him and do what's right. Then the Lord will take care of you, and He'll bring you through it all. He's brought you through crisis before, and He'll bring you through what you're going through now. And so it's just a matter of putting our trust in Him in order to have this inner peace. There may be some here tonight who don't have that inner peace because you're not right with God. It may be you're not a Christian. You've never committed your life to Jesus, that you might be forgiven of sin and have that hope of eternal life, that you can have fellowship with Him. Well, we want to encourage you to make the decision to come to Jesus tonight. Render obedience to His gospel if there are any here who are not Christians. We bid you to come to Jesus in faith. Put your trust in Him. And repent of all your sins. Do what the Lord tells you to do. In order to be saved. Confess your faith and then be baptized for the remission of your sins. and the Lord will save you. You can leave here with that peace that we're talking about. You know, I've baptized several people, and you can just tell after they have been baptized with that penitent believing heart, there's this smile on their face. They leave the building or leave wherever we baptized them with joy in their hearts. Just like the Ethiopian eunuch went on his way rejoicing. That's peace. And you can have that tonight. And if you've become a Christian but you've fallen away and you haven't been living for Jesus, then repent of that. Go to God in prayer with that penitent heart and ask Him to forgive you. Do what He tells you to do to be forgiven. And you can be forgiven and you can leave here with that peace. And then just serve Him. Serve Him. If you need to come to Jesus tonight for that forgiveness, we bid you to do that. So come while together we stand and sing.